Brothers and sisters, I always find it difficult to preach on the parable of the sower. What makes it difficult is that we hear this parable spoken by our Lord, and then we hear Jesus himself give what is essentially a homily on the parable, and then everyone turns their eyes to me as if to say, "So, Father, do you have anything to add to what Jesus just said?" Rather than attempting to add anything to what the Lord said, I'll instead try to help us apply these words to our lives. Upon hearing this parable, we should notice the rather cavalier manner in which the sower sows. I'm not a farmer, and in fact, I have a hard enough time getting weeds to grow, yet alone any vegetation that I'd actually want. But I know that many of you are experienced in agriculture. And from what I'm told, those who are successful in agriculture don't simply throw seed around willy-nilly. Rather, they meticulously, and even at times painstakingly, cultivate the soil that will be used for their crops, ensuring that it has the proper nutrients to yield a bountiful harvest. Given this reality, the actions of the sower in this parable are peculiar, if not foolhardy and wasteful. Here's the point. When judged by human standards, God can appear foolish. After all, any farmer who sows in the same manner as our Lord will not remain in business very long. But God isn't trying to establish a business. He's not trying to maximize efficiency. He's establishing a relationship. He wants a relationship with everyone that he has created, regardless of whether they're finely tilled soil, rocky ground, or a dirt path, or a thorn-ridden field. And thus, he sends forth his word to all. Relationships are reciprocal. They're two-way streets, so to speak. So while God desires a relationship with everyone, not everyone is capable of entering into an authentic relationship with God. And I use that term, authentic relationship, quite intentionally. An authentic relationship involves both parties revealing themselves to each other and accepting the revelation of one another. When it comes to God, I find that a lot of times people have trouble accepting who God has revealed himself to be. You know, most of us are quite willing to accept God on our terms. That is to say, you know, we're happy to accept God as we want him to be. But we're much more reluctant to accept God as he's revealed himself to be. Now think for a minute what happens in a relationship when someone starts by saying, "I'll accept you on my terms. I'll accept you so long as you're the person that I want you to be." Well, nothing good comes from that. This attitude does violence not only to the relationship, but to the other person as well. For what we're doing is we're essentially forcing the other person to conform to our ideas about who we want them to be, and not allowing him to be his authentic self. An authentic relationship is marked by allowing others to reveal themselves, and by our ability to enter into a relationship with who the other person has revealed themselves to be. To the extent that we reject who the other has revealed themselves to be, we reject that person. And so it goes with God. If we try to decide for ourselves who God is, we do violence to our relationship with God and to God himself. But if we accept God as who he has revealed himself to be, we can then enter into an authentic relationship with him. If we're able to accept him as he is, if we are to allow that seed he sowed to germinate and to produce grain, we must properly till our soil. Properly tilling our soil means that we must set aside our ideas about who we wish God were, who we want him to be, who we think that he should be, and instead accept who God is. Has revealed himself to be. And God has, in fact, revealed himself. He's done so in very clear and definitive ways. And it's important for us to pay attention to to his revelation. Throughout history, God has revealed himself through prophets. He definitively revealed himself in the incarnation when he became human and lived among us. And he continues to reveal himself through his body, the church, most noticeably through her sacraments, through the scriptures, and through the sacred tradition. Thus, we can enter into an authentic relationship with God by accepting him as he has and continues to reveal himself. Now, this is tough for many of us to do because it means that we have to till the soil of our hearts. And tilling soil is difficult work. There's a reason that people who work on farms have muscles. You can't be a wimp and work on a farm. It's hard work to cultivate the soil. And similarly, cultivating the soil of our hearts is hard work. For many of us, thorns have grown that threaten to choke the grain. Common among these thorns are our desire for power, wealth, honor, and pleasure. But there are other thorns as well. For some, past hurts and experiences have created weeds and thorns that prevent us from trusting. Earlier this week, I was speaking to a friend, and she had commented to me that she has trouble listening to God. She's afraid to listen to God because her experience has led her to believe that God is not powerful enough to truly bring about what is good for her, and that following him would only lead to pain and suffering. And I don't think she's alone by any means. Many of us have been hurt by other people, people whom we should be able to trust. And this hurt has left us reluctant to trust. Such situations often implant in us the false notion that God is either incapable or unwilling to care for us. And this soil needs to be tilled. Tilling the soil also entails removing the rocks that prevent the seed from taking root. Modernity has left us with no lack of work in this regard. Think of all the rocks, the stumbling blocks that modernity has placed in our way. With Rene Descartes' famous line, "Cogito ergo sum," I think, therefore I am, came the notion that life centers upon the individual, that people should do what makes them happy. You know, how often do we hear the phrases such as, "Well, whatever makes you happy," or "to each his own"? Perhaps it's time that such phrases are replaced with phrases such as, "I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word." The soil needs to be tilled. Finally, if we wish to prevent the seed that was sown from being snatched by the birds, by the devil, we must spend time with the Lord. Relationships necessitate spending time with others. St. John Chrysostom, when commenting on this very passage, noted that the disciples who wanted to learn about Jesus went directly to Jesus to hear more about this parable so that they could better know him. We come to know others by spending time with them. If you want to know God, spend time with him. The great Fulton Sheen, our former bishop, frequently spoke of the importance of spending time with Christ in a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, something that I've made a point of doing in my own life, and I'd encourage all of you to do the same. St. Margaret Mary in Apalachin and Epiphany in Sayre are open 24 hours a day so that people can come and spend time with the Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Friends, I urge you to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Even if it's only once a week for 15 minutes, you need that time with the Lord. If you want to spend time with him and to enter into a relationship with him, you need to be in his presence. For you can hardly know the one with whom you do not spend any time. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who till the soil of their hearts.